pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground, Lord, lift me.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our study of the tribulation, we've seen in the first 3.5 years, two witnesses who will be here. Those two witnesses will proclaim Jesus Christ as Savior, and they'll warn people about the Antichrist. They'll warn people about things to come, how that they must receive Christ as Savior or they will go to hell. Everything that they teach and preach will be about God, about Jesus Christ. And these two witnesses will be here 3.5 years, according to Revelation chapter 11 and verse 3. And I made mention before that I believe these two witnesses will be Elijah and Enoch because they went to heaven without dying. And these two will come back and they will be killed after 3.5 years during this tribulation time. They will be killed and their bodies will lie in the streets. People will see them and their dead bodies will lie there. And then the life will come back in those bodies and they will be raised and they will go back to heaven. People will see them going up, going into heaven. And I believe these are the two witnesses because certainly God would bring no one back who has already died to die again. No one's going to die again. Jesus Christ is not going to die again. He died once on the cross of Calvary. He's not going to die anymore. And neither is anyone else whom he sends back. They are not going to die again. They have not died. Enoch and Elijah went to heaven alive. You say, well, how is that possible? Well, all things are possible with God. God is God, and he can do anything that he wants to do. And I remind you that God is in charge, and God has always had a plan. And he wants, during this time of the tribulation, he wants his people, Israel, his chosen people, to understand that they need him. And this is a judgment that's brought upon the children of Israel. And once again, there will be Gentiles during this time, and they too will go through the worst time that has ever been on this planet. Now, the two witnesses will be here 3.5 years, and Revelation 11, 3, verse 3 says, I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Figure it up. That's 3.5 years. And then the two witnesses will be here, and this is important, until their job is finished. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 7. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. Well, the two witnesses will be killed, and I've mentioned this before. Revelation chapter 11, verses 7 through 9. I'm going to read 7 again in connection with this Revelation chapter 11. 7 through 9, it says, And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. They of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. Now, I believe that these people, according to the scriptures, the way it's written, the people will actually be celebrating because of the death of these two witnesses. You know, people today, they tend to make fun of people who are giving them the gospel. I don't know if you've given out the gospel before as a saved person. You've given out the gospel and maybe someone has made fun of you. Well, don't think that's strange, because God has not asked you to lay down your life. Oh, some people will give their lives for the cause of Christ, but God, He takes care of us, and He wants us to give out the Word of God. But these two witnesses will actually give their lives for proclaiming the Word of God. And God simply asks you and I, as saved people today, to hand out a tract. He simply asks us to tell people about Jesus Christ, the one who saved us. He wants us to tell other individuals how that they too can go to heaven and not go into the awful place of hell, that they can go to heaven just like you and I are going to go to heaven. God's given us this great opportunity as saved people to share Jesus with the lost people of this world. And that's what these two witnesses were doing. And don't think it's strange if someone makes fun of you. And don't be afraid. Just give out the gospel, because they're not making fun of you. They're making fun of our Lord. Keep giving out the word. Keep telling people about Jesus. Well, note this, if you would, that people everywhere would be able to see the dead bodies of these two witnesses lying in the streets. Revelation 11:9 tells us that, and we just read that. Well, how will people around the world be able to see the witnesses? Well, we are able to see what is going on around the world right now. Satellites, cell phones, social media, and so forth. And this is another reason I believe the witnesses will be in the first half of the tribulation. You see, the second half of the tribulation is called the time of Jacob's trouble. And this is when things start to happen in the heavens that will cause interruption in satellite broadcasting, making it impossible to view happenings around the world. I believe this. Now, note also, before their deaths, the two witnesses preached for 42 months. Months consisting of 360 Jewish calendar days. That's something to keep in mind, that the Jewish calendar is not 365 days, but 360. Well, the two witnesses are brought back to life by God and ascend to heaven. Revelation chapter 11, verses 11 and 12, it says, "And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet. And great fear fell upon them which saw them, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them." Well, once again now, some people get this mixed up with the rapture. They think that this is when the rapture is going to take place, because the voice from heaven says, come up hither. And this is not the rapture of the church. This is not when it happens. Some people call this mid-trib. In other words, the mid-tribulation is when the rapture, they say, will take place. Well, God is not, He will never cause us as saved people of the church to go through this. And we've studied that, how that Jesus Christ will come back in the clouds, just as those two men who stood by in the book of Acts and told the people who were watching Jesus go up in the clouds, they said, "This same Jesus which is taken up from you shall come in like manner as you've seen him go." They said, "Don't stand here gazing in the clouds. Get busy, because this same Jesus is coming back for you someday." And they were speaking to the people of the church, and that is the early church back in the church at Jerusalem. So I do not believe that this is the rapture taking place as these two witnesses go up. And once again, it says that this voice, they heard a great voice from heaven saying, people heard this, said unto them saying, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. This is not a picture of the rapture of the church. The church is already gone. We're already in heaven. We're enjoying the pleasures of God that he's given us. I believe we're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ to receive those things in our bodies that we've done for him. It's not to see if we're saved, but because we are saved, we're going to be there at the judgment seat of Christ. Well, the Great Tribulation begins with the very exaltation of the man of sin. as the world's humanistic God. In Matthew chapter 24 and verses 15 and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verses 3 and 4, it ends with the permanent coming of the Son of Man in such great glory that nothing else can be seen in the heavens. Remember, the Antichrist, during the last 3.5 years, he will do things that's more terrible than any person has ever done on this earth. But then at the end of the tribulation, the Son of Man is coming back in all of his glory. And all else, once again, during this time, will be supernaturally darkened. And I think of the cross when Jesus died. There was darkness over the face of the whole earth. And only his, that's Christ's magnificent glory, can be seen over all the earth as he comes back in the clouds to this earth. And he touches down on the Mount of Olives. And the people of Israel, his people, will recognize him for who he is. We're going to get to that later on as we continue to study about the tribulation, the end of the tribulation. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Well, this person is going to deceive many people. But Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, he said, don't let anyone deceive you, because that day is not going to come. The day of the Lord is not coming, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed. Jesus Christ is going to uncover him for who he really is. And let me jump ahead just a little bit, that when Jesus comes back, the beast and the false prophet, of whom we haven't spoken of yet, will be cast into the lake of fire. And this will be the end of them. But those who accept the mark of the beast and worship him during this time of tribulation will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation, according to Revelation 14, verse 10. We're going to read that. But at least two witnesses to the people's sins during this time will be necessary to convict and punish them. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 10. Let me say this again, that two witnesses stand as witnesses against the people who would not turn from their sin, who would not be willing to ask Jesus Christ into their heart, who would not be willing to acknowledge Yahweh God, the God of heaven, was God. They would not do that. And these two witnesses are witnesses to that. Judgment will come upon these people who refuse to receive the witness of these two witnesses. Revelation 14:10, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture, into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Instead of receiving the Lamb of God as Savior when they could, they will now have the Lamb of God watching them as they are suffering, as they go into the lake of fire. Won't you trust him today as your Savior? Won't you ask him to come into your heart? Receive Jesus Christ as your Lord right now by admitting you're a sinner. You can't save yourself. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but thank God the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.